Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Happy New Year and welcome in. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for the guys today. Here on New Year's Day, 2026. How about it? Hopefully 2026 is better to us than 2025 was in a lot of ways. There were some good moments. We played some of those yesterday when I was in with Doc, or shall I say I was finishing up Hokies basketball and listening to Doc. That was a wild saga yesterday, filling in for G&D. But there were some good moments in 2025. But most notably, the bad moments kind of outweighed the good moments, with maybe the exception of Alex Ovechkin's record-breaking goal. I mean, you look back at last year, and you had the highs of the playoff run for the Commanders, but that feels like an eternity ago, not just a little under a year ago. And the way this season has gone has put a sour taste in your mouth for what could be for the future of this team. You look at the Nationals and the way that that season played out, and now you've got a whole new regime in place, and I think the future is bright there, but we still got to see how everything plays out there. The Wizards are still doing the Wizards things, and they've played a little bit better of late, but they're still in the middle of a rebuild, and can't expect them to be winning games really anytime soon, other than little hot stretches here and there, but you know, it's not like they're going to the playoffs. And here's to hoping that the Capitals are able to put together a good season this year, get into the playoffs, and do a little bit more than they've done in the past. But 2025 was a fun year, hoping for a better 2026. Hopefully you enjoyed your New Year's Eve and had a safe and healthy New Year's celebration. Last night, I frankly didn't do a whole lot other than watch a little bit of football. I flipped around some of the channels and realized that I'm not up with what modern music is. I know they're playing some throwback stuff, but I'm like, man, none of this stuff really interests me. Can we just get the ball drop and let's go? Like, that's all it was for me. I had to catch up on Hard Knocks, so I watched that last night. But I will say one thing. I was watching Hard Knocks, and the previous episode was the Eagles game, where they clinched the division at Northwest Stadium. That made me want to barf. Seeing the Cowboys celebrate a Christmas Day win and the joy on Dak Prescott's face, the joy on Brian Schottenheimer's face, I know they had the tragedy, and that's a cool story to see how they've rallied around, you know, the loss of Marshawn Nyland, and that's something that's going to unite them forever. But I still hate the Cowboys, and seeing them be able to celebrate a Christmas Day win, that was tough to watch.
You know, it's 2026 in the way I've looked at it, Toby. If you're a young Commanders fan like you and I are, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I'll get your thoughts on this. I hate the Philadelphia Eagles so much more than I hate the Dallas Cowboys at this point. It's not even close at this point for me.
So I was raised to hate the Dallas Cowboys more.
Weren't we all?
So I still would say that I hate the Dallas Cowboys more. But it's not like there's a big chasm. It's like if the Cowboys are a 10, the Eagles are a 9.999. Like, they're right there. I don't even really separate them much anymore. Like, I can't stand watching the Eagles celebrate. I can't stand anything about them. If I have to choose when the two are playing each other, I probably would still take an Eagles victory over the Cowboys, but I don't feel good either way. And I don't blame anybody, because you're right, though. In my age group, our age group, it feels like the rivalry has been more real with the Eagles, because Washington, even in bad years, has actually been able to beat Philly.
They compete.
And they've been more competitive in our lifetimes than the Dallas Cowboys have been.
Also, Toby, I get the sense that the Commanders and Eagles have a more real rivalry in terms of on-field play, because I do think those teams actually hate each other.
I don't
think the Commanders and Cowboys care at all about each other, which is, it's tough to see. You wish it was different, but the Commanders and Eagles hate each other. And I know there was a lot of bad blood, especially that stems from the NFC Championship game last year. It carried over into the game this year. I'm interested to see what Sunday looks like, because the Commanders don't have much to play for other than pride. The Eagles really have nothing to play for at this point. Maybe their seeding could change potentially, but I think they're resting a lot of guys. I'm interested to see the kind of fight that you see from the Commanders. Do they look like they hate the Eagles in this game?
Well, and that's the thing that's going to be interesting, is when you have backups playing for Washington because of injuries, because there's quite a few of those, and you have backups playing for Philadelphia because they don't have anything to play for, there's going to be that extra chip that you see sometimes in the final preseason game where guys are trying to prove something and you get scuffles because there's a little bit of action after the whistle, and all of a sudden you end up with these big moments. And we saw what happened in week 16 after they went for two. There was already a big skirmish, and that was with starters. That's with Mikey, and I still laugh at that video of what's their tackle? It was Tyler Steen, their right guard, just got jumped by like six Commanders. I still crack up at that. But yeah, I mean, there is a hatred between those two, to your point, that I don't know that they have with any other team, and I love that. I need more of that in professional sports. Less of the buddy-buddy stuff. Not that you can't be friends off the field, but I need less of the Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers shaking hands in the middle of a game, and more of, I want to crush this guy in between the white lines.
The coaching matchup is what also drives that riot. I think Nick Sirianni hates Dan Quinn for whatever reason. That's just the vibe I get.
Well, and everybody hates Nick Sirianni.
Exactly. You're not going to get that same vibe, though, with Dallas, because Dan Quinn was very well-liked in Dallas by the players, a lot of the staff that's still there. They had very good things to say about Dan Quinn. There's a reason why most players that played either with him as a defensive coordinator or him as a head coach love Dan Quinn as a guy personally. So nobody in Dallas has like bad blood toward Dan Quinn. The Eagles, I don't think you could really say that's the same. I think Nick Sirianni has bad blood with Dan Quinn for whatever reason. And I think everybody just wants to beat Philadelphia because that's who they are right now. They're the top dogs in the division. They just won the Super Bowl. You want to beat those guys bad. And especially after what they did to you in the NFC Championship game, losing by 32 points after you finally get there for the first time in 33 years, that is a gut punch to you as an organization. If you're a fan, if you're a player, for me, I can't get over it. The only way I'm ever getting over that loss is if we beat them in an NFC Championship game and win a Super Bowl of our own. I can't get over it.
Well, and one thing about it, too, going into this matchup is I want to see the effort from Washington's players. Not to say that they've quit, but you have extra motivation for this game for a couple of reasons. One, it's the Eagles. We've already laid that out. There's bad blood. There's a rivalry ongoing. And secondly, they're resting starters. Now, that's the right move for Philadelphia. There's no reason for Jalen Hurts to take a snap in this game. I get that. But there's got to be some pride here. If you are a starter for Washington and they're going to willingly throw in backups, you better not lose to them. You better not go out there and not give full effort. Because I can tell you one thing, the backups that haven't got a chance to play for Philadelphia, they're not going to just roll over. They might not be as good as the other guys, but they're going to give full effort to show that they maybe deserve more of an opportunity. So there's extra motivation in terms of the pride of, I can't be losing to some backups. I can't be playing poorly and getting shown up by some backups. And so I'm curious to see the effort. Now, I know some people are immediately go, well, I don't want to see them win. I understand that. I totally get that. Nikki Jobvala put out the odds of where the Commanders can pick. And basically they're locked in, I believe, to picking 4 through 7. So 4% or 5% chance that they could rise up and get the number 4 overall pick. There's an 18% chance they could be picking 5th. There's a 32% chance they could be picking 6th. And there's a 45% chance that they'll be picking 7th. So likely they're in the 6-7 range. They could get up to the 4-5 range. So I understand for the people that want to improve the draft pick as much as possible, they want to see them lose on Sunday. I get that. You know, there's a chance that if everything goes your way, you need some other garbage teams to win some games and all those sorts of things to happen. But you could get all the way up to the number 4 overall pick. And look, if you get up to number 4, there's a real chance that you could end up with an Arvell Reese who might not be available at pick 6 or pick 7. There's a real chance that you could... We're going to talk a little bit more about Reuben Bain in a little bit, because if you watched the game last night, you saw number 4 for Miami all over the field and dominating what was the best team in college football basically all year until the Big Ten championship game. You saw them dominate up front against Ohio State. And I don't know that they have the best front. They don't have the best O-line in college football, but it's still the Buckeyes, and they had rolled over everybody all year. And Miami, a team that was just barely getting into the college football playoff, had a great pass rushing duo that I think you saw wreck the game. We'll talk about more about that in just a second. But, you know, I don't think, for me, it matters as much where they pick. You know, they're going to pick from 4 to 7. It'd be different if it's something where, you know, there's 3 or 4 games left. It was a different discussion. Now you kind of know where you're going to be picking. You're in that 4 to 7 range. If it were something drastic where you could go from that 5, 6, 7 range all the way down to 12, okay, maybe it's a little different story. But I want to see this team go out there and play with some pride on Sunday against a team in Philadelphia that I think they want to embarrass Washington. I think you're right. Nick Sirianni, I don't know if he hates Dan Quinn, I don't know. But Nick Sirianni just has this I'm better than you mentality. And that's probably a good thing for a coach to have, because for him, it's Philly against the world. But I think they want to embarrass Washington and say, you guys were frauds last year. We kicked the crap out of you in the NFC Championship game. And by the way, we're going to beat you with our backups when we do not care what happens in this game, but we're still going to beat you anyways. I think they have that mentality. Maybe they still do, but I need to see Washington come out with some real fight. Because if you don't, maybe there's some other discussions to be had here about this football team, regardless of whether they win or lose.
You know, imagine if they really did lose 12 games in a row to end the regular season. If you didn't get that win over the lowly New York Giants, who ended up screwing up their tank by losing to the Raiders last week anyway. But you'd have some serious questions about the fight and about the response of this team under Dan Quinn. And you saw the glimpses of it, where you had a really competitive performance against the Denver Broncos, could have easily won that game. Mariota just threw it a little bit higher. They win that game at home on Sunday Night Football. But then the next week, you get trounced by a bad Minnesota Vikings team led by a quarterback that couldn't find his footing in the NFL to start his career. And you go, what in the world is going? We've been a Jekyll and Hyde football team
the
entire season. So I'm interested to see how it closes out, because you want to take some positive momentum into the offseason here, where hopefully Adam Peters is going to make some big-time moves to retool this roster, shape it up the way that gets them back to a competitive state in 2026.
Yeah, you hope so. And it is an interesting discussion, because you brought up the, if they would have lost 12 in a row, well, what the heck is the difference with losing 11 of 12? Like you said, you beat up on the Giants. Congratulations.
That is true.
Like, well, what the heck is the difference between losing 11 of 12 or losing 12 in a row? I can tell you the difference. It's you at least got the hounds off your back that just look at the column on the far right of the standings and say, what is your current streak of win 4 in a row, lost 3? Instead of seeing lose 12, you see, oh, okay, they lost 4 in a row or whatever to finish the year, which feels different, but it's really not. And I had advocated that if you lose 12 in a row, everything's on the table. And I mean everything. Like, you can't just assume that Dan Quinn is safe if you lose 12 in a row. That's hard to do in this league. Lose 12 in a row. They're not going to lose 12 in a row. They're going to lose 11 of 12, likely. Well, we'll see what happens on Sunday. But a good chance that they finish losing 11 of their last 12. Why should that be a big change in the discussion? And I don't think they're going to make a move on Dan Quinn. I don't think they would. But I think it needs to be a real discussion because they're not playing good football. And people love to point out the injury thing. And I've talked about this the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
People love to go, well, injuries played a major role. They played a role. I'm not denying that. But I want you to seriously ask yourself. Seriously ask yourself. Turn off the injuries this season. They play fully healthy. They have everybody all year long. How many wins do they have? I don't see them suddenly going back to 10 wins.
I'd say 7 or 8.
That's what I say. And that's the problem.
The defense would still be bad as it is.
I don't think that a fully healthy defense is really any better than what we've seen this year. And that's a major problem. And they've got to fix it. My word of advice for Dan Quinn has been whoever you hired to figure out what the heck went wrong in Atlanta, bring in those same people and have them do an audit of what the heck happened this year compared to last year, where you had success last year and you had no success this year. Some of it, the quarterback play was not the same. Jaden was hurt for a majority of the season, so you didn't have him. Even when Jaden was on the field, he wasn't playing at that pseudo or almost MVP caliber level like he did last year, and that's fine. I went on a full discussion the other night about how much I love Jaden Daniels, so don't take it as Toby's out on Jaden. No, no, no. I'm totally fine with him, but he didn't play at that same level this year. But the defense was atrocious. The defense was so bad this year that I don't think it's fixable in having all your healthy players out there. And part of that, too, by the way, is Adam Peters not giving Dan Quinn the correct people to work with. You look at the secondary, and I actually liked what they had in the secondary. Turns out I was wrong. The secondary was garbage.
We all thought it was going to be better.
I think that is partially Quinn. I never believed in their pass rush. Never did. And for Dan Quinn's style of defense to work, and really any defense to work in the modern NFL, you have to have a consistent pass rush. And unless you're going to go full Wink Martindale and send 5 and 6 guys every single play, which Dan Quinn isn't going to do, then you better have someone that can win one-on-one. And we saw Dorrance Armstrong play really, really well to start this season. And so maybe that could be your guy. Even then, I still don't think he's a top-end edge rusher by any means. I think on a good team,
I like him as your second guy or rotational.
Yeah, I think on a good team, the way he was playing this year, he could probably elevate to a 2, but he's generally been a 3 throughout his career and his time in Dallas and then here. They've got to get a dude that can rush the passer. They have to get somebody. But they need playmakers everywhere. We're going to talk about this playoff game last night that we watched. You saw Reuben Bain wreck the game for Miami against Ohio State. You saw Caleb Downs all over the football field making plays from a safety position, used as a rover, kind of coming down near the line of scrimmage, blitzing, also making tackles on the second level and third level as a deep safety. They need playmakers all over the field. Because you look at every level of the defense right now, and I don't feel confident in any of them. And frankly, there's not a lot of players that I have tons of confidence going into next year. Now, they can flip that narrative pretty quickly. You sign a couple of the right guys. You start putting these guys in better positions. But I felt great about Mikey Sanders still going into year 2. I don't feel as good going into year 3. I feel good about Trey Amos. But like I just said, I felt good about Mikey going into year 2. I got to see it again with Trey Amos, although I think he's a different style of corner You know, Mikey's a little bit more of a tweener. Mm-hmm. I think Trey Amos, his role is pretty clearly defined as an outside guy that can play a little bit of everything. So I believe in him, but you believe in the safeties? I like Will Harris. I think he's okay. Quan Martin has been awful this year.
Well, he probably won't be back.
So the safety room is a big question mark. Corner, beyond the two that I mentioned, is a big question mark. Linebacker, Frankie will be back, but are you bringing Bobby back? Is Jordan McGee going to step into a bigger role? Outside of those two guys that are potentially back with Lufu and McGee, what the heck are you doing at linebacker? Edge rusher, I have no confidence whatsoever. Defensive tackle, I would move on from Daron Payne in the offseason. I'm good on that. He's inconsistent, and I think he's been solid this year.
You'd save a good amount of money, too.
Yeah, I think this has been a solid year for Daron Payne, but I'm good on the price tag, and the production don't necessarily match, so I'm good there. Is Johnny Newton going to look like the guy that we saw against Dallas, where he's a menace in the pass game? Still terrible against the run, but Is he a menace in the pass game? Because then I can find a role for that guy. Or is he going to be the guy that we've seen for basically every other game of his career where, oh, he still plays here? Oh, that's right. We drafted that guy in the second round. So are you going to get that guy? And by the way, 3 sacks on Christmas for Johnny Newton is 3 more sacks than Javon Kinlaw has had all year. Kinlaw has 0 on the season. So, by the way, all of you people that keep telling me and tried to tell me it was a good signing and I needed to shut up, where are you at? Like, I truly don't understand what they were trying to do with Kinlaw signing. But regardless, I don't think that Adam Peters set the defense up for success.
They don't have any blue chip players right now. I'd say the jury is out for some of them. Mikey Sainer, still the jury's out for him. Trey Amos, good rookie season, but you're going to have to see more because Mikey regressed a little bit
Correct. This
past season. Jordan McGee, he's flashed a little bit since his role's expanded, but are you going to see him in that expanded role for the entire year next year? You don't know. Johnny Newton, what are you going to get out? You don't have anyone you can definitively say is a blue chip player on this defense. I don't even know if Frankie Luvu could even be considered in that conversation The way he's played this year because it's been bad.
And I don't know if they know what he is, which is odd because they used him perfectly in their first year when he was here. And this year, I don't know what they're trying to do with him.
He is awful as a hand-on-the-dirt edge rusher.
He's not an edge rusher.
He cannot play that position.
He's not an edge, and he's not a linebacker. He's
and
a
what
tweener.
Is he?
Well, he's a tweener. And you have to understand that if you want to use him fully as an edge rusher, or as a linebacker, you're going to be disappointed. You have to use him in a unique role. And they used him in that unique role in his first year here. He's moving around. He's blitzing up the A-gap. He's blitzing and taking on a guard. He's rushing off the edge. He's rovering around the middle of the field. He can do all those things. So I still like Frankie Luvu as a player. But whatever they tried to do this year with him, I don't know why you ever thought you should change his role. If you thought, oh, okay, well, he's basically an extra edge rusher with all the injuries. Well, you're wasting Frankie Luvu then because he is not good enough to just be a straight-up edge. I like Frankie. He's one of my favorite players on the team. But he just can't play edge. If you just line him up there, like you said, it's a waste. He's not going to be good enough against the run. He's not going to be effective enough as a pass rusher going against tackles all game long. It's scary where they're at. And it makes you wonder if the defense is fixable going into next year. Like, let's say Adam makes the correct moves. Let's say he drafts a defensive player early. We'll talk more about the guys that I want at the top of the draft next segment. But let's say he drafts a defensive player that's an impact player. He goes and signs a couple of guys that are impact players. I think you can argue that the defense is going to be better, but I don't know that it's going to be fixed. I'm almost wondering if their big issue that they've run into now is that Dan Quinn's scheme, while it can be effective, has too many cons to pros. It can be good, but if one of your cons is you can't stop the Shanahan-type scheme that half the league runs, that's an issue. If I'm consistently hearing that, yeah, they ask a lot of their corners and that's why Mikey's struggling, and I'm wondering if they can even truly evaluate things because I saw multiple incorrect evaluations now this season. They still can't figure out what Mikey Sainer still is. They want him to be a nickel corner. They can't figure out if he can do that. So they move him back outside. He plays better, but I think they still want him to be in the nickel. And by the way, they traded away the pick that I don't know if you've seen the guy in Philadelphia, Cooper DeJean. He's pretty good in that slot corner role. You probably could have just stuck and picked because, by the way, the guy that you got extra with that trade was Ben Sinnott. I don't know if you've seen Ben Sinnott. I could have just taken Cooper DeJean and lived with not having Ben Sinnott on the football team. But that's a missed evaluation. They assumed that Brandon Coleman was going to be able to play left guard, and then he got relegated to the bench. Now, that one's not as bad because Chris Paul stepped in and played well, but I still think he's one of your five best linemen, and you can't get him on the field because you can't find the right fit for him. I think that's another missed evaluation. It's just been a disappointing year. It's something that can be fixed, I think, going into next year. I think they can get some stuff together, but I'm curious how fixed it can get. Is it something where they go from maybe the worst defense in the league to, okay, they're mediocre and they can get the job done? Because that's more of how I feel what last year's defense was, and their offense was incredibly efficient and really, really good. And if you combine those two, you can still create a winning formula. You hope that you can get back to that level of defense where it's at least acceptable, because this year has not been acceptable at all. Last night was a thriller in the college football playoff. Miami beating Ohio State. I want to talk about that game and two guys that stood out, one on each side. We already mentioned them, Reuben Bain, Caleb Downs. Reuben Bain has had some interesting discussion around him with the NFL draft. We'll talk about that and how last night's game impacted. And I'm going to tell you once again why I love Caleb Downs and would love to see him in burgundy and gold. Toby Altizer filling in for B. Mitch and Finley on New Year's Day.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. The guys are off for New Year's Day. Hopefully you had a happy and healthy New Year's celebration last night. Welcome into 2026. Toby Altizer sitting in for the guys today. Last night, thriller of a college football playoff game. I'm sure most of you were tuned in as Miami, I guess you could say upset. I don't know that there's really upsets in the college football playoff that are major teams, right? Miami at one point in the year was thought to be one of the best teams in the country. But They beat Ohio State 24-14, and it really felt like the score was, that might be closer than the game felt. Ohio State got a little bit going in the second half. They were able to move the football and start getting going a little bit, but really, Miami dominated from the word go in that one. And it could have been worse. They had a fumble down inside the red zone. They had a fumble with a chance to go score again early in the game. So Miami was just dominant, really, from the jump, and they dominated both lines of scrimmage, I thought, specifically on the defensive line. Reuben Bain, I am so intrigued by this discussion around him, arm length, and what's his draft stock going to be. Going into the year, and as the first portion of the season in the college football season went on, and you just looked around and, you know, the draft nerds like myself and lapping up anything you can get just looking ahead and watching the college football season through the lens of the NFL draft and thinking about what teams need and all these things, Reuben Bain was thought to be a guaranteed top five pick. He was thought to be the guarantee top edge rusher through the beginning portion of the season. Then as the year went on, and even more so recently, you started to hear these, okay, well, he doesn't have the traditional size and look of an edge rusher, and he doesn't have the prototypical length arms that you want out of an edge rusher when you draft him, and is he going to have to move inside to be more of a three technique in the NFL? I saw Booger McFarland was tweeting about that last night. I've seen, I think Cam Jordan of the Saints was saying, hey, don't discount him being able to just go out there and play off the edge and wreck things because he's a special player. And you saw that last night. And I'm very curious to see how this is going to go. I wasn't really turned on to this as much until I was listening to Dane Brugler, who does a fantastic job for The Athletic. On The Athletic Football Show, they do a podcast every week on Wednesdays called Building the Beast, and they just talk through different things going on with the college football season and as pertains specifically to the NFL draft, because he puts out the fantastic guide going into the NFL draft called The Beast. And he brought this up a couple of weeks ago about Reuben Bain, saying he's not a guaranteed top 10 pick, and he maybe wouldn't even bet on him being a top 10 pick, which is kind of odd to me. And you watched the game last night, and did you notice that his arm length was prohibiting him from destroying the game plan for Ohio State? Because I sure as heck didn't. He's explosive, gets around the edge quick, doesn't look like your typical edge rusher. I'll give you that. But my gosh, he destroyed Ohio State last night. Absolutely destroyed him. And sometimes you get to these processes, and I get it. You know, when you go to an NFL draft, and I know a lot of old school football people will hear, well, his arm length and, well, what the heck are you doing? Turn on the film. And I tend to agree with that more than I do. Let's go and just look at all the measurements and how good they look in compression shorts running in Indianapolis at the combine. Like, that stuff does matter to an extent. They're also trying to mitigate risk, right, when you go through these things. So if I go through and I watch a kid and he's dominant on film, but then I look at all the measurables and things and go, well, I've never seen somebody in this mold be successful before, they're trying to mitigate the risk. So I understand the paralysis by overanalysis sort of deal that happens with the NFL draft at times. We've seen it with players that have dropped down, that get into the league, and then all of a sudden they're the player that everybody expected them to be. Guy I can think of a couple of years ago was Kyle Hamilton, who probably should have been wearing burgundy and gold. Right, Kyle Hamilton was probably the best player or one of the best players in that draft, and he dropped down because, oh, he's not fast enough. And then, all right, well, just watch him play in Baltimore and tell me he's not fast enough. By the way, if you're a smart football player, I might run a half second slower 40, a full quarter second, well, maybe not half second, but you know, you run a 4.4, I run a 4.5. But if I'm a step ahead of you because I know what's going on and I can diagnose things better, that's better to me with the slower guy than the 4.4 guy who's out of position. But regardless, I don't know that you need to overthink the Bain one. I think someone will. I think teams will. He'll probably drop down the board a little bit. But I don't know that that's one that you have to overthink. Because you look at the top of this draft, and what's so interesting is generally the positions that go at the top, the ones that are targeted the most heavily in the top 10, obviously quarterback. And there's a potential that three are going to go. We'll see. I would bet that there's going to be two that go, because I don't know that one of the others is going to ultimately declare for the draft. Fernando Mendoza is going to go in the top 10. You can book that. You can basically guarantee that he's going to go before Washington's pick. And if he declares, there's a good chance that he's a number one overall pick. And I would assume that he's going to declare. I'm 99.9% sure you'll see him. Dante Moore is the next one. He's an interesting prospect to watch, and I'm excited to see how he does today. He'll be playing at noon against Texas Tech, a really, really good defense. I'm curious to see how he performs. There's a chance he could come out. I would argue that I would take Dante Moore over Fernando Mendoza. That's just going a little bit more on the traits and hoping for a higher ceiling than Mendoza. But Dante Moore could end up being a top draft pick, potentially even the number one overall pick, if he comes out as a quarterback. But he is at Oregon. If you've heard of Phil Knight, he can make an appealing offer to make sure he stays with the Ducks in Eugene. So Dante Moore could come out. Next one would be Ty Simpson, and he's someone to watch in the Rose Bowl today, which, by the way, it's weird watching game day, and it's a monsoon in Pasadena, and they're trying to squeegee all the water off the field. It's been tarped for like a day and a half. Weird seeing all that in the Rose Bowl. You're just seeing perfect weather out there. I'm curious to see if it's still raining and everything before kickoff and overcast, because that will hurt the aura a little bit of the Rose Bowl. But Ty Simpson is another one to keep an eye on for Alabama and whether he decides to come out or not as well. But quarterback obviously goes at the top of drafts. Offensive tackle goes at the top of drafts. There's questions about the top guys in this class at offensive tackle, which would be Caden Proctor for Alabama, was thought to be one of the top guys. He hasn't had as good a year this year. Francis Mauinoa, last night you saw him at right tackle for the Hurricanes. Good player, really, really solid. So one of those guys probably go in that area where the Commanders are. Obviously, they're not going to be taking a tackle. They'll get that Tunsil deal done, I hope, and not do the whole Terry McLaurin thing over again. But they'll get the Tunsil deal done. You obviously just drafted Connerly. And then the next one would be pass rushers, whether it's interior or edge rushers. You want the top guys that get after the passer. And you look at the top pass rushers in this year's draft, and what's so interesting about them is Arvell Reese is listed as a linebacker. He's kind of a tweener. The comp that he gets all the time is Micah Parsons. Now, that's best case scenario, because Micah Parsons is very unique in the way that he's used. He's similar in that Frankie Louvu type role, right, where you can be moved around. You're not truly an edge all the time. You're not truly a linebacker all the time. You can kind of do a little bit of everything. Micah's better as a pure edge rusher than what Frankie is, but he's not just going to line up truly on the edge all the time. And if you want a chess piece on defense, Arvell Reese can be that for you. They've used him a lot this year at Ohio State as a quarterback spy. They did that last night a little bit with Carson Beck, and I didn't love that utilization of him. I would have thought when you're going against a guy like Carson Beck, where he's not going to run as much, just blitz him, let him get after the quarterback. But regardless, you see the closing speed. He did that against Fernando Mendoza in the Big Ten Championship game, forced him to get rid of the football a little bit quicker than he'd like at times when he was trying to escape. But that's a tweener as a pass rusher. I think he'll probably be the first pass rusher taken, but he's a tweener. He's not a true just edge rusher. The next guy would be David Bailey. He is a true edge rusher. You'll see him today for Texas Tech. He's probably the top, just full-on, know him as an edge rusher. He plays there all the time kind of guy. And we'll see if he ends up going top 10, which I think he would. But 6'3", 250 there. But he's not talked about nearly as much. Peter Woods, interior defensive lineman, he was thought to be one of the top prospects in the draft coming into the year. Didn't have his best year for Clemson. And then Reuben Bain would be there. But Bain's another one that's interesting because we just had the discussion about the arm length and whether he's a guy that should be taken that high. And Keldrick Falk is another one. He's got more of the measurables, but his production hasn't necessarily always been there. Hasn't been as impressive this season, 6'6", 285, so more of a big edge that you're used to seeing. Cassius Howell out of Texas A&M is one to keep an eye on, but he's smaller as well, 6'2", 248. So that's the interesting part about this is when you're saying, okay, if there were a Myles Garrett, yeah, I'll probably just take Myles Garrett and live with that over a, you know, Reuben Bain, and I'll be the one that misses. Or if there's a TJ Watt or someone like that, I'll be the one that misses because I'll take the guy that I'm more confident in because he's a traditional edge. There's really not that guy. So if you're going to get a pass rusher, yeah, there might be some quote-unquote red flags for Reuben Bain, but the production is there. And in the biggest game of his life, playing against Ohio State last night, he absolutely destroyed them. I think that's got to matter for something. On the other side of the football, I want to talk about Caleb Downs. Grant tweeted about this last night, Grant Paulson. He tweeted that trade down Paulson, as he's known as, because he just loves trading picks to go down and get more assets. He said the worst thing about being trade down Paulson is watching the Buckeyes defense and knowing I wouldn't get any of their guys. To which I replied, that's why I'm, quote, take Caleb Downs Altizer. I want to talk about Caleb Downs next because I don't really care where Washington's picking. They're picking 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. I don't care. I want to see Caleb Downs in burgundy and gold. We'll talk about it next. You'll be Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Shout out Jay Lane, repping the Hokies. By the way, Hokies, if you're not paying attention to them on the old hardwood, heck of a win yesterday, triple overtime over UVA. The Hokies might be legit. Talking about the college football playoff game last night, though, Toby Altizer filling in for the guys today. Last night, you saw Reuben Bain absolutely wreck the game of Ohio State for Miami. Want to take a look on the flip side. Caleb Downs had a spectacular game last night, all over the football field, in on every tackle. Sometimes Mark Fletcher's a big back for Miami. Not a big back, but he's a big running back.
that got me.
He's someone that is a bruiser when he runs the football. And there were a couple times where he's running the football and you see him just get blasted. You're like, who the heck was that? It's Caleb Downs. He'd break through and here's a form tackle, last line of defense, here's Caleb Downs. Forced a couple of fumbles on Malachi Toney. Here's Caleb Downs again. Dude's all over the football field.
And I love that. I love a guy that just flies to the football every single play. If there's a tackle, he's in on it.
Well, and I love the story that I'd heard about him basically saying that Matt Patricia, which, by the way, if you're looking for a defensive coordinator that fit the qualifications that Doc and I were talking about yesterday, not Dan Quinn's scheme, probably isn't getting a head coaching job anytime soon, and can just be not necessarily autonomous, but let him run his defense. I don't know. Matt Patricia is an interesting name to keep an eye on. I'd be interested in what he could do because he's a good defensive coordinator, not a good head coach, but he'd be an interesting one to consider. But the reason I bring up Caleb Downs once again is Commanders are likely to pick in that 4-7 range. That generally precludes a team from taking a safety. I think you might have to make the exception this year. I want to lay out some reasons why. Number one, I think Caleb Downs is the best football player in this year's draft. Number two is probably Jeremiah Love. Both those guys obviously have the positional value question. Caleb Downs being a safety, Love being the running back out of Notre Dame. Love would be fun to watch here. I'm not going to touch a running back where this team is at right now. I wouldn't take Love, although some people are saying, hey, just make it a dynamic offense with Love. I'd love watching him, but I'm not taking a running back when there's so many other needs. But I would take Caleb Downs because I think he's the best player in this year's draft as a safety. And I laid out last segment, obviously they don't need quarterback. The edge rushers in this draft are questionable, and I think there's some red flags with all of these guys, and there's no clear-cut top dude or top two or three guys that you'd feel great about compared to maybe the safest pick in the draft being Caleb Downs. People immediately go to look at two of the most impactful safeties in the league, Derwin James and Kyle Hamilton, and look at where they were drafted. Derwin was one of the top players in his class. You knew that coming in, but he got drafted 17th by the Chargers. Kyle Hamilton was one of the top players in his class, arguably the best football player in that class coming out. But he went 14th because of a little bit of groupthink overthink with his 40 time, but also because there are good football players in these drafts. Listen to the guys that went ahead of Derwin James that I didn't have an issue with going ahead of him. Saquon, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Denzel Ward, Quentin Nelson, Josh Allen, Roquan Smith, Mika Fitzpatrick, by the way, another safety taken at 11th there, Vita Vea, Daron Payne, Marcus Davenport, didn't make sense there, but Tremaine Edmonds, Colton Miller. Those sorts of dudes make a little more sense. You look in 2022, Aiden Hutchinson went ahead, Trayvon Walker, Derek Stingley, Sauce Gardner, Kayvon Thibodeau. Remember, he was thought to be one of the best pass rushers. Ikem Ekwonu, Evan Neal, Drake London, Charles Cross, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, Jordan Davis. What's my point here? I don't think this list of players that I went through, if you told me I had to take one of those guys over Caleb Downs, I'd be a little more apt. Because I could say, yeah, would I rather have a guy of Kayvon Thibodeau's draft profile as an edge rusher, knowing that I can get some pressure? Or would I rather have Caleb Downs with the, probably thinking that Caleb Downs is better, but the positional value? Okay, I could maybe listen to you on Kayvon Thibodeau. If you want to talk about Roquan Smith, it's interesting with an off-ball linebacker, or Quentin Nelson, Bradley Chubb, Denzel Ward, right? Like, if you gave me those style of players, those caliber of players, then okay. Yeah, I'll pass on Caleb Downs. I don't think there's those guys in this draft. And there's going to be guys that pop. It happens every year. But if you gave me the option right now of Caleb Downs, or I could basically take a pick of anybody else in the draft, regardless of where Washington picks, I think I just take Caleb Downs. I think he's the best football player. I don't think that there's a guy that is going to be an absolute game wrecker at edge rusher, even though I think Reuben Bain's really, really good. There are questions, like I laid out, And maybe it's a little bit of overthink, but I still think that Caleb Downs, in terms of just being a pure football player, regardless of positional value, I think he's the best player in the draft. So at that point, because of the fact that I don't have a quote-unquote can't-miss edge rusher, I don't need a tackle, but there isn't even one that is a can't-miss tackle. You don't need quarterback. Well, if that's the case, and I'm already going to have to dip into either a questionable, valuable position or just go best player available, give me best player available. And to me, that best player available is Caleb Downs, and there's no question about that in my mind. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. Should the Commanders take Caleb Downs in the top 10? Even though the positional value doesn't necessarily always fit, it's not traditional to have a safety go inside the top 10, especially if they even climb up a little bit higher in the 4-5 range. Should they take Caleb Downs regardless? 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer sitting in for B. Mitch and Finley on the first day of 2026.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.